Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Chaf Talad, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Yibayiluhu. As we had learned in the previous shiur, our Mishnah, the Gemara has interpreted our Mishnah to teach us that the Mishnah is teaching us two dinim. One din is that if someone invites his friend to eat by him, and the friend declines, and the person makes a nether that the person will be usher from his all of his benefit from the inviter, it's considered a nidri's reason. And the second thing that the Mishnah taught us was that haroitza shlo yiskaim nedar of kol hashana, that somebody wants that all the nedarim that he makes throughout the year should be null and void, should stand up in Rosh Hashanah, v'yoymer, kol neder shani osed lidar yei botel. Our Gemara now begins to ask, from these two dinim that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov paskind, pligalei Rabbanan de Elazar ben Yaakov, the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, aloy. So Mepharshim explain, the Gemara's focus is not on the second din that we just reviewed, the din about being able to be mevatel on the Dorim. That is a din that the Gemara assumes the Rabbanan agree with, or even as other Mepharshim say, the Rabbanan do not necessarily agree with. The Halacha certainly follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov regarding that din. For, as we learned at the end of the previous year, Rav Huna wanted to publicly teach that this mechanism of being mevatel nedarim was effective, and only because kdei shlo yahatnagu kalos roish nedarim was he stopped from doing so. So it's obvious that this method of being mevatel nedarim works. However, the Gemara's question, as the Rishonim explain, is regarding the first din that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said in our Mishnah, the din that there is a situation of nidre's reason where one invites someone else and makes a neder. And as the Rishonim explained, this certainly is a concept of nidri's reason. It was taught in the first mission of our parak. So the Rishonim explained that the Gemara's question is that perhaps the Rabbanan hold that the only time we say nidri's reason is in a situation of business, as was the nidri's reason that was explained at the beginning of the parak, where the buyer and the seller make nedarim that the buyer refuses to pay more, the seller refuses to sell less. But the Gemara's question now is, do Rabbanan also agree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that the concept of nidre's reason could be said in a non-business setting? That's one question. And continues the Gemara, v'im tem salayim apligi, and if we do ascertain that the Rabbanan disagree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, the halacha is, the shayla is, hilchasa kavasei aloi, does the halacha follow the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov or the Rabbanan? And as the Rishonim v'achroinim discuss, even though there is a rule throughout Shas, mishnosoi sherebelezer ben Yaakov kav v'noki, Rebelezer ben Yaakov's sayings are kav, are not that many, but noki, but they're clean, we always follow the opinion of Rebelezer ben Yaakov. So why is the Gemara here asking if we follow his opinion or not? So there are many answers given. One answer is that perhaps Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is only followed when he's not arguing with a rabbim. But if over here the rabbanon, who are the rabbim, are arguing with him, we would follow the opinion of rabbanon. Another pshat is that this that we say halacha like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is not a hard and fast rule. It's only where we understand and agree with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's reasoning. Another pshat that I saw is that perhaps we only follow the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov explains his opinion. In our Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying his psak, he offers no explanation. Another pshat is that the Mepharshim say, Mishnosos Rav Elazar ben Yaakov kav v'noki. The word kav is the gematria of 102. To teach us that in 102 places we paskin like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, but not more. And the Gemara's question is this situation that we're discussing, this psak of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov regarding Nidri's reason, one of those 102 times that we follow the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov? Toshma. So Gemara attempts to bring a raya from the following Mishnah. The Tanan. We're going to learn a Mishnah Mitzvashem on the Afsamach Gimel Amid Beis. Ha'oymel chaveroi. If somebody tells his friend, Koinim sheni nanelcha, I won't have any benefit from you, im I ata noita levincha, unless you accept from me for your son, kor shel chitin v'shtei chav yishoyayin, a kor of wheat and 2 barrels of wine. Hareza yochel ahates nedroi. So the person, I made a neder that my friend has to accept from me on behalf of his son these items. This neder could be annulled shloya pichachem without even requiring to go to Rav. Shiyachaloi maloi, for my friend can say to me, klum amarto, the entire reason you made this neder is el b'shvil kvoidi, in my honor. Hareza kvoidi, zel kvoidi, it's my honor not to accept these items. Now, as the Rishonim explain, what the person is saying, this proposed recipient is saying, that the whole purpose of making the nether is that you want to show honor to me. You've shown the honor by making the offer, and it's not needed to actually give me the items. Whereas other Rishonim say, the Pasuk says, Soine matanis yichya, a person should avoid taking gifts, so it's my honor not to take the gift, and that was your entire purpose, was to give me honor, and therefore the neder is null. There's a fundamental machlokes rishonim. How do we understand the nullification of this neder? Some rishonim explain that this nullification works the same way as a Pesach. But although, as we have been learning, normally to affect the Pesach, a person has to go to the Rav who affects the Pesach and then affects the Hataras Nedarim, this Pesach is such a strong Pesach that it doesn't require the procedure of going to the Rav. The Pesach works by itself. However, other Rishonim explain that this Pesach, that this is not a typical Pesach, because the only way a Pesach could work is by going to the Rav and the Rav making a Pesach and then affecting Hataras Nedarim. When the recipient or the proposed recipient says Zel Kvaidi, it's as if he received what I intended to give him, and therefore the nether has been fulfilled, and therefore the nether is no longer valid. So Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman in the Sefer Yalos HaShachar explains what would be the nafgamina between these two approaches of the Rishonim. Is what is the status of the nether until the person says Hareza Kvaidi? According to the approach that it's considered a Pesach, as we have learned, when a Chacham annuls a nether with a Pesach, it uproots the nether from it ever having been a nether. So if someone violated the nether even before he said Hareza Kvaidi, it wouldn't be a problem, because the nether was never a nether. The Pesach annulled it. According to the other approach, that when the person says Hareza Kvoidi, then and only then is the nether considered null and void, but until then the nether was a real nether, and if somebody had violated the nether until he said Hareza Kvoidi, it turns out that he violated a nether. But now the Gemara focuses on our question. Tama, the entire reason why this nether is now null is because the recipient said the Amar Zehu Kvoidi. Halav hachi, had he not said so, nederhu. It's obvious that this Mishnah considers that it would have been considered a neder. Now ask the Gemara, Mani, who is the Tan of that Mishnah? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, if that Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Nidri's Ruzin Havi, why is this not considered a regular situation of Nidri's Ruzin? As we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that if I invite somebody and I make a neder, it's considered a Nidri's Ruzin. So obviously, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, we don't have to say that the nether becomes null because the recipient says Zeu Kvoidi. The nether can become null because it's a Nidri's Ruzin. If the Mishnah had to say that the neder is null because of the reason of Zel Kvaidi, Shmamina, we could understand that Pligi Rabbanala, that Mishnah represents the opinion of the Rabbanon, who do not apply the concept of Nidre's Ruzin in such a setting, and therefore they had to come up with another reason why a neder is null and void, because the person said Zel Kvaidi. Answers the Gemara Olam Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. One could actually say that Mishnah is considered, goes even according to the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. If it's going according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, why isn't he just disqualified a neder because it's a Nidre's Ruzin? Says the Gemara, might Rav Elazar ben Yaakov behind the Nidre have it. In this case, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov will agree that it's considered that it's a neder. Domele, because the person who's making the neder says to the person who he's making the neder to, like Kalbana, I'm not a dog. The Mesyavna Minoch, Vele Mesyavnis Minoi. This person who made the neder is a person who has received much from the person who he wants now to receive from him. And the reason he's making the neder is because he's saying, I don't want to act like a dog that only takes and doesn't give. And therefore, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will agree that it's a real neder. So the Ran asks, what makes us understand that is a situation of a neder, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because it's a situation of like Kalba, I know, the Misnei Minoch, Vele Misnais Minoi. And in our Mishnah, we don't say that was the purpose of the person making the neder. So the Ran gives two explanations. One explanation, that is, in our Mishnah, the person making the neder is saying that the person who is making the neder to should not benefit from him. The recipient should not benefit from the one making the neder. In our case, in this case, however, the neder is that I who am making the neder should not have any benefit from you. In the case where I say I shouldn't have benefit from you, why am I saying it? Because I feel bad that I've always received and never given. In the case of the Mishnah, I'm saying that you shouldn't benefit from me. That wouldn't be the terms of a neder that would have been said, because I don't want to feel like a taker and not a giver. Another explanation that the Ran gives is that in our Mishnah, I invited my friend for a meal, a small meal. There, we say that I didn't invite him because I owe him something. Obviously, I invited him because I wanted to invite him, and I just strengthened the invitation by saying a neder. In this case, we find that I wanted to give him or his son a lot. I wanted to give him a kar shel chitim, a shtei chav yishel yayin. That's not what's typically given as a gift. It must be because I feel that I owe it to him, because he gave me so much. And that's why here we say it's a real neder, because I don't want to be like a kalba, versus our Mishnah, it's only a nidri's reason. The Shem Shmuel says that the Zohar says that in the Yom Neroim, people should be careful when they daven, that their tefillah should not just be half-half. That a person should just not stand in his tefillahs on the Yom Neroim and ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, just give me. A person has to think of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So ask the Shem Shmuel, if that's the case, let's understand one of the first tefillahs, certainly the first tefillah that's added in the Shemoneh Esrei during the Seras Yemei Tshuva. We say, Zecheinu L'chaim, Melech Chofetz B'chaim, V'kosfeinu B'sefer Chaim. We begin our tefillah immediately asking for our life, Zecheinu L'chaim. But we just said a person's not supposed to be like a kelev, asking. Answers the Shem Shmuel, we have to finish the sentence. We're saying, and yes we're asking, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zecheinu L'chaim. But we ended off, L'man Cholech Kim Chaim. We're not going to be like Klovim, that only take. When we receive from you, when the Eibishter will give us Chaim, we will use this Chaim, L'man Cholech Kim Chaim. We'll use the Chaim for Avodas Hashem, for Torah U'mitzvos. So the Gemara still is trying to answer the question, do the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? Toshma. If somebody says to his colleague, you may not have any benefit from me, unless you give my son a kar shel chitim v'shtei chav yishel yayin. Remei Oimer, Achiyite. The nether is considered a valid nether until the person actually gives it to him. The Chum Oimer, the Chum disagree. Avsei Yehoch Lahachot is Nidroi. The Chum said there's a way of having this nether annulled. Shloya pi chacham, without even going to chacham. Shiyach aloimer, I can say, hareni kles kabalti. It's as if I received what I was supposed to receive. And as the Ran points out, the nether was that my son should receive. So how could my saying, kilus kabalti, be effective for my son? Answers the Ran, that the Gemara here, the Mishnah here, is obviously referring to a situation where I'm supporting my son. And therefore, by me saying kilu is kabalti, it's as if I received. But indeed, says the Ran, in a situation where my son is not being supported by me, there I can't say kilu is kabalti. If the only one that can say is kabalti is my son himself. As the Kairan Ira, if our Gemara now has established that one could say kilu is kabalti, why doesn't the Gemara use the same concept in the previous case? In the previous case where I made a nether, that I'm going to give you something, so the nether can become null and void by you saying Hareza Kavoidi. Why can't we say that it could be null and void because you say Kilus Kabalti, it's as if I received it? Answers the Karen Ira. We always have to understand what is the purpose of the nether. In the previous case, my goal was to give my colleague something. So he says, Areza Kvaidi. It's as if I got it. Kilus Kabalti is only to a can only be said to a receiver, not to a giver. So in the previous nether, where the purpose of the nether was giving, Kilus Kabalti doesn't take care of the goal of the nether. Only Areza Kvaidi would take care of that concern. Here, where the goal is that I want to receive, here Kilus Kabalti can be considered as if the nether was done. But again, says the Gemara, Tama, the only reason the nether becomes null is because I could say, Areinu Kilus Kabalti. Halav Hachi, if I didn't say this, Netherhu, it would be considered a nether. Again, Mani, whose opinion is this? Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, if Fowl's opinion, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, it should not be considered a nether anyway. Nidre's reason who? It should be considered a situation of a Nidre's reason. Elul Rav, it must be that the person over there is following the opinion of the Rabbanon. Upligi, who don't agree that we say under such circumstances Nidre's reason. And that's why the Mishnah had to come up with this concept of Kilus Kabalti. Says the Gemara L'Olam, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. We could really say that that Mishnah follows even the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov. Rebbe Elazar Bahai, Rebbe Elazar will agree in such a circumstance the Nidra Hava, Mishum da Amalei, because I could say, Lav Malkano. Here we have a situation where I've always been giving my friend, never been receiving. And I could say, I'm not a king. The king gives and doesn't receive. The Mahani Loch, that I've always benefited you, Vatloy Mahanasli, you never gave me anything. That's why I could say, that's why I made the nether, and that's why even according to Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, it's considered a valid nether. If not, that I could say, Kilu his Kabalti. The Ran makes the point of bringing down a Rajba that says that even though our Gemara teaches us that by saying Kilu his Kabalti, we could say that the nether was fulfilled, says the Ran, that's only in such a situation where I was supposed to receive something. So even though I didn't receive it, I could say Kilus Kabalti. But what would be the case that let's say I make a nether that you may not benefit from me if you go to a certain place? And you go. So the nether is triggered. And then I say that I view it Kilu Loi Halachta, as if you didn't go. Says the Ran in the name of the Rajba, that would not be valid. Kilus Kabalti only works that it's as if something that was supposed to be done was actually done. But Kilus Kabalti cannot tell us that something that wasn't supposed to be done and was done should be considered as if it wasn't done. The Ran, however, does bring down other Rishonim to disagree with the Rajba and say that the concept of Kilus Kabalti could be applied in all situations, whether it was for a positive, and we could say as if it was done, or if it was a negative, and say, as far as I'm concerned, it wasn't done. There's an interesting Ramah in Hilchus Shalach Manus that says that, let's say I bring Shalach Manus to someone, and he doesn't want to receive, he doesn't want to take from me, and he says, Kilu is Kabalti, Amakayim Mitzvahs Shalach Manus. The question is, where is the Ramah? The Achronim ask, where did the Ramah take this halakha from? So the Mefarshim say, it's based on our Gemara. In our Gemara it says, that I was supposed to receive something from you. Kilus Gabalti says, that's if I received it, even though I actually didn't receive it. The same thing by Shalach Manus, Kilus Gabalti, is if I received it, even though I didn't actually take the Shalach Manus from you. Says the Chassam Sofer, going back to the Karen Oira that we just spoke about, a moment ago, says the Chassam Sofer, it really depends. If we say that the point of Shalach Manus is that someone should receive from me, says the Gemara is now teaching us, Kilus Gabalti teaches us that even though he didn't actually receive, it has a din as if he received. But, says the Chassam Sofer, if the point of Shalach Manus is that I should give to my friend, and as the Karen Oira says, Kilus Gabalti is not effective in a place where I'm supposed to be giving you something, then the question is, how does the Ramah say that this would be considered a being Mekayim, the mitzvah of Shalach Manus? The Mefarshim, going back to the question that we spoke about earlier, discuss, we asked earlier, that how do we daven on the Seder Shemei Tshuva, so Chayvel Chaim, Melech Chofetz V'Chaim, that we're just asking, isn't that the characteristic of a caliph? Say the Mefarshim, based on this Gemara. In relationships between people, there's this concept of caliph. A person should not just be a taker, he should also be a giver. But as our Gemara just taught us, when it comes to a melech is just a giver, never a taker. So that's pshat and the tefillah in the Seder Shemei Tshuva. We say, Zuchenu l'chayim, melechovet v'chayim, v'kosfeinu b'sefer achayim. So the question comes up, how could a person just ask? How could a person just be a taker? So we respond, because we're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the melech malchim melochim, l'mancha elokim chayim, you are a melech. In a relationship with a melech, as our Gemara just taught us, the melech is a giver and never a taker. The Mefarshim also go on to explain, the Gemara says that Shalosh Mitzvot Nitzdavi Yisrael Kishenichnasu L'Aretz. Klal Yisrael were told to do three mitzvahs as they enter Eretz Yisrael. Lahamad LaMelech, to appoint the king. Lahachris Zari Shal Molech, to destroy a Molech. Ulamed Beis HaBechira to build, Ulev Beis HaBechira to build the Beis HaMikdash. Explain the Mefarshim. A Melech, as we just learned, has the midah of just giving and never taking. A Malek, we know, was a kofi toiv. He only took, he never gave back. And that's pshat why these two mitzvahs travel together. Klal Yisrael is told, as they enter at Yisrael, Lahamad LaMelech, to appoint a king, which our Gemara just taught us, the midah of a king. A king only gives and doesn't take. And that is the antidote. And that is the way Lahachris Zara Shal Amalek, then the king will be able to destroy Amalek, because he's just the opposite of what Amalek stands for. So Gemara is still trying to answer, do the Rabbanim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? Amalei Makshish B'Reid of Chizdal Ravashi. Toshma, we could bring a raya from the following Mishnah. Nidrei Oinsim. What is the case of a Nidrei Oinsim? Hadira chaveru shiachla atzloi. I invited my friend to eat with me. V'cholahu achala benoi. And my friend or his son Nebuch becomes sick. Ashik v'nor, there's a flood that prevents him from coming. That is a Nidrei Oinsim. Halav hachi. If not for this, it would be considered a neder. And again, ask the Gemara, Mani, who is the Tan of this Mishnah? Irib Lezben Yaakov. If it follows the opinion of Lezben Yaakov, Zruzenhavi. Isn't this an example of a Nidrei Zruzim, when I invite someone to eat by me? Why do we have to rely on the explanation that it's a Nidrei Einsim. Elalav, it must be that this Mishnah represents the opinion of Rabbanan. Uplig, you don't hold in such circumstances, we say Nidrei Zruzim. So the only way the Nidrei can become null and void is by being a Nidrei Einsim. Says the Gemara Oilam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We could explain that the Mishnah there follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Umi Savrit. But the case there is not a situation, the Adrit Mezamna Lizmina, that the inviter was the one that initiated the Nether. Loi. What happened there was, the Zmine Adrit Lemezamna. The invitee is the one that initiated the Nether against the inviter. Domale. The invitee says to an inviter, are you going to invite me to a meal? I say, absolutely. But now the invitee wants to really be sure that I mean this invitation. So he strengthens it with it saying to me, Nedze Alecho. Did you mean, are you prepared to say that this is with a nether? And I strengthen it, Vinoda. So obviously it's not a Nidrei Zruzin. As a Nidrei Zruzin, as Rishonim explains, if I initiated the nether, and I want to show you how serious I am about the invitation. Here, the invitee initiated the nether. So it's obviously not a Nidrei Zruzin. It says the Mishnah, if cholahu or shechol benoi, that if he or his son get ill, or shik v'nor, there's a flood that prevents them from coming, harei el Nidrei Einsim. Otherwise, this can't be considered a situation of a Nidrei Zruzin. Ask Reb Kiveger. Kiveger's here on the side in the Gilyon HaShas. He asks, why does our Gemara have to explain that it's a situation of a Nidrei Einsim and not Nidrei Zruzin? We learned at the beginning of our parak, asks Reb Kiveger, that in a situation when one made a Nidrei Zruzin, but as the Yerushalmi says, Amamid, I say, even though it sounds like a Nidrei Zruzin, Amamid, I meant it to be a nether, then everybody will agree that it's not a Nidrei Zruzin. So why don't we explain that Gemara is referring to a situation that the person who made the nether, the inviter, is the one that made the nether, but he said, I was Mamid, I really meant it as a nether, I didn't mean it just to be a Nidrei Zruzin. Rabbi Kivega stays with a Tzarechian. I saw the Sefer Yad Shol answers as follows. He says that even in a case where a person says that he's mamid, that he meant it seriously to be a nether, he certainly didn't mean it to be a nether in a case that it's an oinus. So therefore, if this ends up being an oinus, it should not be a Nidrei Zruzin, because even if he's mamid, he wasn't mamid to a case that it's an oinus. The fact that the Gemara doesn't give this teretz is a rai that it's not considered a Nidrei Zruzim, and we have to rely on the explanation that the Gemara gave. Toshma. So the Gemara is still trying to answer our question between how to understand the Machlokes of Rav Elazar Rabbanan. Is there a Machlokes? The Braisa says, yes, Al Kain, Amar Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Furthermore, says Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and we're going to focus in a moment very much on this word furthermore. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, if somebody says, "Kainim shenay nanilach," I say, I make a nether that I won't have any benefit from you. Im I atom is arach etzli, if you won't come to me to be a guest. V'toich lami paschama v'tishdim mikoyschama, and eat with me some warm bread and a hot drink. V'halach v'alah hikpik nekdoi, and the other person doesn't accept my invitation. Says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Af Elo Nidrei Zruzim, this is considered Nidrei Zruzim, V'lehoid L'chacham L'chacham don't agree. So the Ran gives two explanations. We explained at the beginning of our Shia, says the Ran, that the first case of today's Shia, where I invite someone, where I say to someone, if you won't take from me, that I'm making a nether that you shouldn't, that I make a nether that I won't have any benefit from you. The reason the Gemara considered it a nether and not a Nidrei Zruzin, because the Gemara is saying the point of the nether was that laf kabana, I'm not a dog that just takes and doesn't give. Here Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is referring to a similar situation where I'm saying I won't have benefit from you obviously the reason I'm saying I won't have benefit from you unless you come to be a guest by me, because I feel bad that I've always taken from you and never given to you. Yet Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is teaching us that it's considered Nidrei Zeruzin. So the Rana says, obviously, according to this explanation, the teretz that we began today's shiur with, that Rabbi Elazar agrees that in a situation where we could say that it's a situation of lav kalbano, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that that is not a Nidrei Zeruzin, the Gemara obviously is refuting that. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that even in a situation where one can interpret the neder of being a neder because lav kalbano, it's still considered a Nidrei Zeruzin. That's one approach that the Ran explains this brisa with. The other approach that the Ran explains this brisa with also refers to what we learned back at the beginning of the shiur. At the beginning of the shiur, we said, what was the proof that that case that we just mentioned wasn't a Nidrei Zeruzin? Because I offered to give a kor shel chitim, shtei chav yishel yayin. People don't typically give such large gifts unless it's a situation of lav kalbano. In this case, I'm not giving such a large gift. I'm just giving warm bread, a cup of tea. So why would I consider it not a Nidrei Zeruzin? Says the Ran, because perhaps when does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say that it's a Nidrei Zeruzin? When I'm not that detailed in my invitation, in my neder. Here where I was so detailed, pas chamo, kois chamin, I'm being so very detailed in my neder, it must be because I really mean it to be a neder. Tells us Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov a chiddush, that even under these circumstances, it's considered a neder. And says the Braisa, the Chachamim didn't agree. So there's two approaches how to explain the Gemara from this point on. First, we'll explain the Gemara with the approach of the Rosh. Since the Chachamim said, v'loi hoid l'chachamim b'zeh, it says the Chachamim didn't agree. My loi hoid l'chachamim, what does the Braisa mean when it says the Chachamim don't agree? Lav, it must be that the Braisa means to say, the Chachamim never agree. Even in the case of our Mishnah, where the details aren't mentioned, still the Chachamim hold that in a situation of invitation, we don't say Nidrei Zeruzin. So from here we see, Pligi Rabbanan Alei, the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and they don't hold we could say Nidrei Zeruzin. From here we see, the Rabbanan disagree. So now the first question we began today's shiur with is answered. We wanted to know, do the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov or not? Now we see they disagree. Now the Gemara comes to answer the second question we began our shiur with. Yes, we have a machloikas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan. But who's the halacha like? My havalo. Whose opinion do we follow? On that the Gemara says, Toshima. Domrav Huna Lok Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Loch is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Kenama Ravada Barahava, Halok Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That's one way of explaining the Gemara. Another way of explaining the Gemara is that we do not have definitive proof that Rabbanan argue Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even in the case of our Mishnah. For perhaps they only argue in this Mishnah, in this Braisa, where it's a concept of lav kalbano could be applied. We could say since he was so detailed in the neder that he made, that's a proof that he meant it as a neder. But we don't know what the Rabbanan would hold in our Mishnah, where it was just an invitation backed up by a neder. Therefore, when the Gemara asks, my havala, how do we understand the Gemara's back and forth? So the Ran gives a number of explanations. One explanation is that the Gemara is saying that since we see Rav Huna had to say that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, obviously the Rabbanan argue on Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Because if the Rabbanan didn't argue on Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, why would Rav Huna have to tell us the halacha is that way? It must be that they disagree. Another way that the Ran explains is that the point of our Gemara from the beginning was never an academic question. It was never a question to really ascertain what is the opinion of the Rabbanan, and what is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And we may taka never know what the Rabbanan hold in the case of our Mishnah with a regular invitation, with a backed up by a neder. But what the Gemara is saying is a practical answer. The halacha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So even if the Rabbanan do or don't disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it really doesn't make a difference. It must be that we follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. Another approach that the Ran gives is that since that they had a Kabbalah, they had a tradition, the Rav Huna's statement here was going back to our Mishnah. And since it's going back to our Mishnah, it's obvious that Rav Huna held that Rabbanan argued with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov in our Mishnah. When we began our Perek and we discussed Arba Nedarim, four types of Nedarim, four categories of Nedarim, Shehitiru Chachamim, that Chazal said were Mutter. The first case was Nidrei Zruzim, that we just finished discussing. And the next case was Nidrei Havoy, Nedarim of Exaggeration. And now our Gemara begins to give us examples of Nidrei Havoy. The first Nidrei Havoy, Omer, if somebody says Koinim, somebody has fruit in front of him, and he says, these fruits should be also to me, im loy risi b'derech hazeh ka'oli Mitzrayim, if I did not see on this road like the same amount of people who went out of Egypt, 600,000 people, or im loy risi nochesh k'kares beis abad, if I did not see a snake the size of a beam of the olive press. All of these cases, the nedarim, are just exaggerations. They're not really a nether, and it's a nether havoy. And there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim on how to understand this Mishnah. The Rosh, the Ritva, it says that the two examples given in our Mishnah are really two examples of the same case. When a people have a tendency to speak in exaggeration, and even though there really wasn't 600,000 people, or really there isn't a snake, as we're going to learn tomorrow, Shir, that looks like the beam of an olive press, people speak in exaggerations, and therefore the nether is not considered a nether, and he will not be usher in the fruits. The Ran, however, says that the two examples that are given by our Mishnah represent two different types of Nidrei Havoy. The first case, where somebody said that if I didn't see 600,000 people, like the amount of people that left Mitzrayim, is certainly a case of exaggeration. But the second case, says Duran, is not a situation of exaggeration. It's a situation of something that's absurd. There is, as the Gemara will teach us, there is no snake that looks like an olive beam. Because an olive beam is rigid along the whole back of the beam. And a snake is only rigid by the neck, not by the back. So when somebody says, I saw a snake whose back was rigid, what he's saying is something which is absurd, and therefore it's considered Nidrei Havoy. The Mefarshim ask, the Gemara says, that if somebody says, somebody sees 600,000 people, he makes a bracha, Baruch Chacham Harozim. So ask the Mefarshim, how come our Mishnah is saying that if somebody says that he saw Ke'olim Mitzrayim, it must be an exaggeration? Why must it be an exaggeration? People, we see, if we make a bracha when we see 600,000 people, it must be possible to see 600,000 people. So answers the Taz, the critical word in our Mishnah is b'derech hazeh. Yes, it's possible to see 600,000 people. But here the person said, I saw on this road 600,000 people. And we know that this road can't hold that many people. It can't hold 600,000 people. Obviously what he was saying was an exaggeration. And therefore, it's considered a Nidrei Havoy. There's a Machloikas Rishonim. If somebody said a nether of exaggeration, when will the nether be considered a Nidrei Havoy? Is it that he saw a large crowd? He didn't see 600,000 people, but as we're learning, and we'll learn more in the Gemara in a moment, it's typical that when people see a large crowd, they use such wording, even though that's not what they saw and not what they meant. Or do we say that, so he had at least seen a large crowd, but if he didn't see a large crowd, that it won't be considered a Nidrei Havoy? Or do we say that whenever somebody says such a wording, it's considered a Nidrei Havoy, no matter if he saw a large crowd or not? In learning our Gemara that we're going to begin now, there are two different Gersos in the Gemara. There's the Gersa which is in our Gemara, which is the Gersa of the Rosh, which is actually the easier Gersa to learn the Gemara with. And then there's the Gersa of the Ran, which doesn't follow the wording of our Gemara. We're going to learn follow the wording of our Gemara, the Girsa of the Rosh. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, even though we just learned in the Mishnah that Nidrei Havoi are Mutarim, Shvuos Havoi, Shvuos are more severe, and they're Asurim. And the reason they're more severe is, as we've learned so many times, by Shvuah, the Torah uses the words Lo Yanaka to teach us how serious and severe Shvuos are, and therefore, even though Nidrei Havoi are Mutarim, Shvuos Havoi are Asurim. Others explain that the severity of Nidre of Shvuos Havoi is based because by Nidorim we have to have piv for Libay Shovim, his mouth and his heart. His mouth has to articulate his intent. Shvuos, we just follow what he says. I saw a pshat from the Netziv. As we've been explaining many times, the fundamental difference between a Shvuah and a Neder is that a Shvuah is an Issa Gavra and a Neder is an Issa Cheftza. When a person makes an Issa Gavra, given that every one of us is a chelik elokam amal, we are part of Hashem in us. So when we make a neder, we make a shvuah, we're actually including HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's more serious. On the other hand, the neder, which is only Issa Cheftza, so it doesn't have such a close connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's less serious. So ask the Gemara, Heichi Dami Shvuos Havoi. We're saying that a Shvuos Havoi is Osir, and Neder Havoi is Mutter. Ask the Gemara, what is the case? What if the case is Ilema, if we'll say that somebody says Im Shvuah, Im Loi Re'isi B'Derech Hazeh, somebody makes this exaggerated statement that I certainly saw on this road 600,000 people. Ask the Gemara, Midim Kamer, did he say anything? What he said is a meaningless statement, and therefore it's certainly not a Shvuah. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Domer, the person says Shvuah Shorisi, that I saw that many people, and it's obviously false, because as we explained in the Mishnah, he obviously could not have seen on this road 600,000 people, and that's why it's a Shvuah Shof. So asks Rava in Kelam Lilameimer, obviously it's a Shvuah, as we learned that whenever somebody makes a Shvuah, which is a Shvuah Shof, he's Chayiv Malkus. Furthermore, Vaidumi the Nadiktani, the Bryce is comparing Shvuos Havoi to Nidre Havoi. In the Nidre Havoi of our Mishnah, the person said that this fruit will be Asur, if not, that I saw. Where is that similar situation by a Shvuah that we should say that the Shvuah will be Asur? Therefore, El Amarava, Ba'omer, the case here is, somebody said, Yos Reparis Oilam Alai B'Shvuah, that all the fruit in the world should be asked to me on a Shvuah, Im Lo Re'isi B'Derech Hazeh, if I did not see on this road, Ka'oiloi Mitzrayim. The Halach is teaching us that such an oath is forbidden. Some Mefarshim say it's Asa Midrabanan, others say that it's Asa Midaraisa. The Braisa is teaching us that a person has to be precise with the language he uses in a Shvuah, and therefore the Rabbanan said that if somebody made such a Shvuah, even though it's an obvious exaggeration, the Shvuah is a Shvuah and it's Asur. Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, why is it so obvious that it's an exaggeration? Dilma, when this person was speaking, he meant Gavra Kina de Shum Shani Chaza. He was saying that I saw 600,000 ants. And he calls 600,000 ants Va'apaklan Shmon Oilem Mitzrayim. When he sees 600,000 ants, he calls them Oilem Mitzrayim. And therefore there's nothing exaggerated in a Shvuah. Answers the Gemara, V'shapim Mishtava, and therefore to consider a proper Shvuah. Amalei, sort of Ashi answered to Ravina, when a person makes a Shvuah, he says the Shvuah according to the wording that we use. And we don't call ourselves ants. We don't call Oilem Mitzrayim ants, so obviously we cannot interpret that he meant ants when he said the Shvuah, and it would not be considered an exaggeration. Mefarshim ask that we've had situations where we do interpret words in a somewhat difficult way to interpret. Then we have a Mishnah on Daf Chof that if somebody said Nada Bechayrim, and he said I meant Cherma Shalyam, so we learned that if it's a Talmud Chochem, who is to be believed, we believe that he meant Cherma Shalyam, even though it's a very far-fetched explanation. So says the Rosh, that in that case, I expressed the word Cherim. It's only a question of how to interpret it. Here, and people do call a Cherma Shalyam Cherim. Here, nobody calls ants Olei Mitzrayim. There's a Machloikus HaRishonim. Al Gemara says that when somebody makes a Shvuah, he makes the Shvuah with the wording that we use. What is going to be the Halacha by Nedarim? Do we apply the same concept by Nedarim that somebody who speaks a Neder out speaks it the way we speak, not in his own possible convoluted manner? Some Rishonim say that just like by Shavuos we say this concept, so too we say by Nedarim. Others say that Nedarim, as we've been learning, is less severe than Shavuos, and we can't say that the person, when he says a Neder, could say, I meant it, that I meant ants, I didn't mean people, or a person has the right by another to be more liberal is an interpretation of the Neder.